I would be considered a conservative. My father and stepmother were murdered at our home in Arkansas. It was very, very traumatic. I was in graduate school out here. I was newly divorced with a young child, and it was really devastating to lose my family at that time. I had applied to be on the parole board when Governor Schwarzenegger was first elected. And when, just in April before my appointment, he had created a new position in his office, the crime victim advocate. And I applied for that position and had letters from the Attorney General of Arkansas and various other people sent to him espousing what I had done as in the area of crime victim rights. And after I had submitted that, I received a telephone call from the appointments office asking me to come in for an interview for the Board of Parole hearings. Every Sunday afternoon or Monday morning, I loaded files in my car and drove off to whatever prison I was assigned to for the week. We spent the week there. We had 16 hearings, two on Monday usually, four on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and two on Friday. It didn't always go that way, but that's usually what we were assigned. We held these administrative hearings all day, and then on Friday you came back home and a box had arrived of files for the next week. You spent the weekend reviewing those files and preparing for the next week or the week after. Sometimes we got the boxes 2 weeks ahead. Then you could take the far out boxes with you and try to prepare in the evening when you were in your motel room. I think I granted approximately 12 out of 300 cases that I had. Now, some of those cases were postponed or withdrawn, but it was 12 grants.
So that was like
4%. Because they fit the criteria. There wasn't any public safety reason not to grant parole. These people had no discipline for the most part. They had programmed very well. They had gone above and beyond the minimum required of them. And they clearly appeared to be people who understood that it was going to be a big change to go back into society, and they were willing to deal with that. They weren't delusional about the fact that everything was going to be different than when they walked into prison 25 years ago, walking out now. We're neutral as commissioners on the board. We have to look at everything from both sides. Victims' rights activists are advocates for a particular point of view. And a lot of victims' rights advocates believe that nobody should ever get out who's committed murder. In fact, I have openly told people, if that were the law, I would be okay with it. That's just not the law right now. And either the people who are so strident don't want to accept that that's the law, in which case they should be working to change it, or they don't understand that that's the law, or they have so much emotion because of what happened to them, which I can certainly understand. They just want to make sure that nobody ever gets out, and that's not the law. There was one victims' rights group in particular, and I don't want to mention their name because I don't want to give them the publicity, frankly, that had zeroed in on the parole board while I was on it and had posted what they thought or what they held out as the statistics from the board. Their statistics were incorrect on when I started and how many hearings I had. And after one case in particular where there was a split vote and I had voted for parole and the deputy commissioner had voted against it, it went to the full board and the board voted against it, they put that particular decision up and just really eviscerated me over it. And they had some of my background information, and it was incorrect. And I don't think they ever had any idea that I actually know what it's like to go through having someone in your family murdered. So it was based on half truth and inaccurate facts, but it was apparently very, very powerful for a lot of people.
Could you tell me what happened?
I just got a telephone call at 4:30 on a Friday. I'd just gotten back from Salinas Valley Prison over in Soledad, and the phone rang, and I picked it up, and it was a deputy appointment secretary, Alberto Roldan, and he said, I'm Alberto Roldan from the governor's office, and the governor would like you to resign from the parole board. And needless to say, I was really surprised. So I asked him why, and he said, the governor just wants to go in a different direction. And I said, well, can you please tell me what I've done? And he said, well, you haven't done anything. The governor just wants to go in another direction. So we need your resignation. You're forbidden to tell anyone that you've received this phone call, and you're forbidden to go to the board meeting next week. And I said, well, I need some time to think about this. He said, well, you're a lawyer. You won't have any trouble getting another job. And we figured it would be easier for you if we let you resign rather than terminating you. And so I said, well, how much time do I have? And he said, well, you have till next Friday. So there's nothing you can do. I mean, you serve at the pleasure of the governor. If they say it's over, it's over. And they don't have to have a good cause or anything. So I faxed them my resignation the following Thursday. Well, I think that it's important to have input from all of the stakeholders. And I think the concern here is that it appears the governor's only getting input from a very small minority, even of victims' rights activists, and none from the attorneys who represent inmates or people who do rehabilitation programs in the prisons and work with the inmates. And so I have a concern about that.